So you've probably already been made aware that the text tonight comes from Acts. Acts chapter 8. So if you would turn there. Acts chapter 8. First of all, can I say what a blessing it is to be here? I look out and I see a lot of my friends, and I see a lot of family. My brothers and sisters are here, and it's a blessing to be here. Thank you all for choosing to be here when you could be somewhere else. This is edifying, truly edifying to see all of you here. It's very encouraging. So the last time I was invited to speak at Estes, I was given a topic, and I confused some terms and some names around, and I said Samson when I should have said something else, and I said Delilah when I shouldn't have said Delilah. So tonight, I'm going to try to keep all my names right and not be so nervous that I lose track of what I'm saying. So let's start reading Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So there are a lot of things in Acts that could be preached on, and I'm very fortunate that this selected text was assigned to me. Because diving into it, again, just looking for small things that I haven't seen before, I feel like there are some really big points that we can take home tonight. And the first one is how mighty is our God. Our God, his ways are higher than our ways, and what a plan has he. So this passage in particular, I would like to refer to as a point back to passage. There are a lot of things that in this passage is addressed in former things. So if you would turn to Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, for us, we understand that there was a conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. We may understand why that is. Way back in the Old Testament, way back in the time of I'm gonna mispronounce his name. I'm not gonna try to pronounce it. There were things that happened. The Northern Kingdom was taken over, and then the Samaritans stayed there while the Jews were kicked out. And 70 years after they were kicked out, they were told to go back to Judea. I'm butchering this. I've been in Crypt of the Old, and I'm butchering this. But Jews, Samaritans, there's a conflict. It goes way back to the time of the Old Testament. And the reason why this passage is so significant is because we've got a man who's not an apostle going to talk to them, a people where there was previously a conflict. There was a great persecution that began. Saul began ravaging the church in Acts chapter 8. We can see that in verses 1 through 4. And it also calls attention to Acts chapter 6. It goes back to Acts chapter 6. To know who Philip was, you would have to know that he was among the seven men that were appointed by the church to oversee matters that the apostles, wow, it is really raining, that the apostles didn't want to oversee. You would go to Acts chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. It says, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, I'm not going to pronounce that name, but it sounds like Prochorus, and Nicanor, I'm going to say Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, there's a lot of things that in this passage it points back to. You would have to understand to know this passage. So when Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 told the apostles that my word is going to be taken out to places other than here, he mentioned Samaria. And I know that I have people in my family that I don't necessarily agree with all the time. And apparently I don't agree with them because of an argument that my granddaddy had with them a long time ago. And I wasn't a part of that argument, but I'm still not going to necessarily agree with them eye to eye because I'm a part of my granddad's little clique, and that's not the right approach to have. But in this passage, we see God uniting people who were once in conflict. So that's really cool. And in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So, why were they scattered? Well, there was a persecution headed their way. And something amazing to be acknowledged is that what the world thought would be a dousing of the flame turned out to be a fanning of the flame. I don't remember which commentary I read that from, but to think that the spreading of the word of God is as a flame, and the world wants it dampened, the world wants it doused, which is what happens now. And then through God's will, his interaction with people completely changes that.